Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome to WGR Sports Radio 550 and something a little different nowadays here. Also known as getting the green light to go ahead and start some local talk an hour earlier. Derek Kramer, Frank Arcuri here for you on a Saturday morning before Inside High School Sports gets taken over at 10 o'clock. And then Sports Talk Saturday, Sal Capaccio in 11 to 2 today. And then looks like we got some Niagara basketball at 2 o'clock. Niagara taking on Quinnipiac. By the way, last night I forgot to finish something in the update there, Frank, unfortunately.
What was that?
How did I not bring up the UB score?
They did blow out Eastern Michigan.
Yes, they did. I mean, the Bulls, by the way, 16th ranked team in the country at this point. And, I mean, what was the final? Hang on. I gotta have that in front of me. But they pulled away in the second half, 77-65, ending up being the final there. Massenburg, by the way, was fantastic last night. In the first half, it was really kind of just Massenburg and Perkins doing a lot of the damage, and Massenburg just kept it up in the second half. I cannot explain how good the Bulls have been this season. I mean, it really is ridiculous. Massenburg, by the way, 31 points last night. Nick Perkins, 21 points. Javon Gray is the only other Bull to get to double digits actually last night. So it was the CJ Massenburg scoring show last night. It was just fantastic from them. But to see UB continue to just dominate in MAC conference play here, I have to ask a quick question here, Frank. Do you really, like, the Bulls, they really are so good right now, and they're so underappreciated still on the whole. They're still,
yeah,
they're still showing up, like, fans are showing up for these games now, standing room only a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's still, like, we could get more hype here for the Bulls. It can happen, and it should happen.
It's going to happen.
And, like, again, the way they're dominating MAC conference play, go ahead and get some action in while you can from this team, because they might go clean through the season. It's a tough ask, but they could still do it. Because you're seeing a lot of times with them here this season with UB, they kind of, like, they almost start out a little slow against their conference opponents, but then the next thing you know, they put their foot on the gas. Once there's any sort of threat from their opponent, and it's done, it's over. I haven't seen them really struggle from start to finish with a team in the MAC right now. Yeah, I know the MAC's not a great basketball conference, but at the same time, you got to be able to appreciate the dominance when you're seeing it, and that's what we're seeing there.
I think you said before, not a lot of people know that we do a podcast together for the WGR website, but
yes.
you've mentioned on our podcast before that this is a special team, and this is a deep team that has what, like, eight guys that they can roll out at any point during the game.
Yeah.
And this is probably, like, one of their last years that they can do this, because I think
it's a senior heavy team.
It's a senior. Yeah, exactly.
It is a senior heavy team. But I wanted to get the UB thing out of the way there, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to be waking up to see that the Sabres did not win last night. And, well, if you're up and rolling before the snow comes and covers everything up, get your take in. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550 here. So the Sabres last night, they lose to Vancouver in what was just another case in point of a lot of what I'm seeing lately from this team. On the whole, they're playing well enough, but they're still not getting the wins. And at some point, you just got to be able to get it done. Now we're looking at the bye week with 4 points out of a playoff spot, and we have to watch an entire week and see what happens. The last time we were in this situation where we were heading into a bye week, everything kind of went their way. And then what happened? Well, the Sabres decided to go ahead and lose to Arizona and Colorado. So, and that was the last we saw of Dan Bylsma. Anyway, you need to be able to see this team go start to finish here once they get out of the bye week, because now it's going to be important. The Islanders look like they're not going anywhere, and that's a problem. Pittsburgh is suddenly a team that you have to look out for. The Hurricanes are a team that could be threatening if you don't pick it up. There are nine teams fighting for eighth spots, essentially, and right now the Sabres are at number nine. And it's unfortunate.
It was another one of those games where, you're right, they did everything they could to win, and they didn't. It was like the Rangers game from earlier in the year at MSG. It was like the Senators game that was in Ottawa right before the 9-2 win, mind you. But they did whatever they could to win, and they just didn't. And I mean, you chalk it up as it was just a couple extra mistakes.
Yeah.
Would cost them. It seems like any time they make a mistake, even if it's small, pucks in the net.
And again, there's sometimes where you just got to be able to make the plays, and you're just not getting enough from them right now. It really is that case.
And it stinks because Linus Omark had a great game. I thought he played really well. I mean, all the goals were not his fault.
Yeah, that last one, the guy's all alone right between Reinhart and Scandella, and mm-hmm. Someone's got to take him.
Yeah.
Someone has to take him on that.
The way I saw it, the way it looked like it went down, Scandella probably did not know Erickson was there until the last second. Because you see, when Erickson gets by and ends up tapping the puck in the net, Scandella's just tying his stick up.
Yeah,
Scandella did not know Erickson was coming, came in from, because he came in behind Scandella. He came in
mm-hmm.
from behind there. Reinhardt on that play, you would want to be the one to tie up Erickson, because he should see him coming there. He's staring right there, right at him. Scandella, I think, was more so trying to play the pass, because Erickson wasn't his guy. It wasn't. He had another guy. He was covering another guy. I don't remember who it was. And he went behind the net. It's the one, whoever, I can't remember who made the pass. It was actually a really nice pass, too. Let's be real.
Levo.
Yeah, Levo. I think Scandella was on Levo.
The problem is that Scandella still ends up in front of the net and has some slight sort of contact with Erickson.
Yeah.
Don't let him through.
Yeah.
Because you know you're in front of the net. You know that what comes past you is the front of the crease.
Yeah.
You can't let that happen. And Reinhart also has to be able to step up and do something on that play too. Like, there's enough. We could pick apart a play all we want, but at the same time, right now, it's just becoming, this team isn't getting it done.
It seems to always be like the same things happening over and over again.
Yeah, it's always just one bad play from a certain player or something of the sort. I mean, Lawrence Pilot had a egregiously bad play that resulted in a goal last night. There's a lot of individual plays that it's just not. It's, you got to be able to clean it up, because if you're not cleaning it up, you're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true.
It's as simple as that.
I'm not as upset with the Pilot play. I mean,
it was bad.
But if you look at his eyes and you look at where he's looking, that's where he was. He meant to everything about the play. It's not like he was just blindly throwing it up the middle. He was trying to hit Ristolainen with the pass, because that's where Ristolainen was.
And that goes back to what I've been.
And also I would also say too, that was really his only option.
And it just goes back, though, to what I've been saying and what my theme with this team is going to be going forward. You got to get it done then.
Yeah, you do.
If you're going to make that play, you got to make the play.
Yeah.
So
it's frustrating. I think also that with the pilot play being 4-on-4, that didn't help because that just opened up the ice for Vancouver to Horvat to take that pass and quickly strike.
Should open up the ice for Buffalo. Why?
Yeah,
it's
the same thing.
You got to get it done. You got to make the plays. You got to get it done. So it just looks like every critical mistake is going into the net for against the Sabres right now. But you still need to make your plays. You still need to be able to connect. Dahlin had a great chance when it was down 4-3. Demko makes a good save. Like, Demko played well for Vancouver, and you can see why he's one of the top goaltending prospects that there is.
Yeah.
But he's still making his second NHL start. You should be able to have something on a young kid. You still should be able to make plays.
I still say they did. Demko had made a couple really good saves. He had the one save on Jeff Skinner that was on the power play in the second period. Skinner wide open in front of the net, really has nothing but net to shoot at, and Demko gets his pad across, makes a great save with his right pad. There was another one, too, in the third period where he made a fantastic save as well. And obviously, he took a couple shots off the face, too.
Yeah.
That, like the one Dahlin play you were just talking about. He took that one right off the head.
Yeah. And again, it just, you still need to be able to make your plays. You can't be making critical mistakes. And that's going to bring us to someone that has become quite a target lately.
Someone who we were just talking about.
Marco Scandella.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny how things turn out, because earlier in the week, you get the trade rumor about Nathan Beaulieu. Beaulieu then answers to the reporters saying that he wants playing time, and that's fair, and I can understand it now, because Beaulieu, in his limited action this season, has looked a lot better than he did last year. But it has got to be frustrating to be able to be there watching from the press box and seeing Scandella, on a nightly basis, it looks like, make at least one egregiously bad play. At least. So it's got to be frustrating that you want playing time and you're seeing a guy who has not come out of the lineup at all this season, night in and night out, making a bad play. At least a bad play. And including several games where he just struggles throughout. You need to be there. You need to be able to continually make plays. If Lawrence Pilot can get benched, and I thought he deservedly got benched after the Tampa Bay game.
Yeah. He
got put in the press box for a terrible third period against the Lightning. He got put in the press box for the Edmonton game. They lose 7-2 in that one. Okay. Scandella didn't look good in that one. Beaulieu was his D partner there, and he ended up in the press box instead of just Scandella. I honestly would have put Hunwick and Pilot in that game against Calgary, because both of them should have been sat for how they played. And now you're seeing Beaulieu looking again and seeing Scandella not be at his best. From what Marco Scandella was last year to this year has become baffling. I thought he was a solid top four defender, a second pair guy, someone that you can even give a second contract to and move forward a little bit with. Don't get me wrong, the trade that what they gave up from here to get Scandella and Pominville from Minnesota is still a fleecing.
It's so well worth it. Yeah.
It's still a fleecing.
Yeah.
But from year one to year two with Scandella as a Sabre has been baffling. What happened? It's dumbfounding me what happened to Marco Scandella, because he was not this bad last year, not even close. And he played more ice time last year, and he was not that bad.
He played because he was on the pairing with Ristolainen.
He was rather admirable playing in a minute situation that he's not normally comfortable with.
I think he averaged, 23 minutes a night last season?
Yeah.
I think this year he's down to, I want to say, around 17. And he seems to be getting worse as a result.
It really is something that needs to be paid attention to. And if you want to try to really make this about making the right personnel decisions, you got to put him in the press box for one night, for one of these games. because it is a night in and night out thing with him right now, and it's becoming a bit of a problem. Because you have depth. You have a guy in Nathan Beaulieu that I think has played overall better.
He's looked a lot better this year, absolutely. I was looking at a lot of the possession numbers last night after the game. Scandella really has not been, it's not been there. It's kind of similar, I think a little worse than last year's. I mean, and you just said, you know, you thought he's a solid top four guy.
If I looked at it from coming in from last year to this year, absolutely.
Yeah. The overall possession numbers really aren't in his favor, but at the same time, I mean, it seems his problem is it's just mentally. He's either trying to make a play that's not there, or he's not quick enough to make the play that he wants to, and he ends up having to do something else that results in a turnover. And then more often than not, the turnovers result in goals.
803-0550-1888-552-550. We're, you know, talking here about the Sabres, what they need to do as they head into this bye week, what they need to do coming out of the bye week. How nervous are you after their loss to Vancouver? How nervous are you about this team? How good are you feeling about UB? You can bring that up as well. But again... What does this team need to do? And we really need to start asking the question of, all right, what are they going forward here? Are they still capable of making the playoffs? Are they still capable of this sort of thing? Should we be making that push for the playoffs? Should we just wait and see what happens here? With St. Louis now coming back into the fold here, I think it might be interesting to see what happens, because now if St. Louis ends up in a position where they're not a top 10 pick, Sabres are probably getting that pick this year, right?
Yeah, if St. Louis is outside of the bottom 10 in the league, yeah, Sabres are going to get their first round pick this year, no matter what.
They'll probably hand it to them.
No, they get it outright.
Oh, okay, that's
it,
right.
The only way St. Louis has protected. The option, yeah, okay. Top 10 protected.
All right then, so.
But you got to remember, too, the Sabres realistically can't even do anything with the pick until the end of the year.
Until the condition is met. But,
yeah.
Again, they still have their own pick that can be traded, and that's something people could want to see happen. And I'm still of the school of thought that it shouldn't. I mean, we need to see what happens. Is it frustrating? Absolutely. Watching this team being ninth place out of, and just looking at where they are and where they were in the standings. The winning streak did alter perceptions. But coming into the season, everyone was more or less going to be happy with being competitive for a playoff spot. That's what it was. Everyone thinks that that's what it's supposed to be. Now, you saw this team in first place in the NHL, the entire league, even outpacing the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are on a ridiculous roll.
Well, they're scary.
But again, the Sabres were in first place. It altered perceptions, and it is a bit of a shame that they are out of the playoffs just a little more than a month later. They are sitting outside of the wild card at this point right now after they were first in the whole league. It is upsetting.
It is.
I'm not going ahead and saying, like, you know, even through the win streak, I wasn't saying the Sabres are going to go ahead and win the Stanley Cup. I don't think any of us should have been saying that. And if people were saying that, that's because you were just too hyped. And I forgive you for it, but you got to remember what's going on here.
What the winning streak did was it made people truly believe that they were a lock for the playoffs. That it's like, okay, they're making it this year.
803-0551, 888-552-550. Dwayne Tonawanda, you're on WGR. What's going on, man?
Hey, just a comment about, you know, post the bye week with the All-Star game leading to the trade deadline. I don't really expect, and I kind of don't want, Botterill to do anything substantial, just because in order to do that, you're going to probably have to give up your first-round picks. With that being the case, I'd rather if you are going to deal with one of those, you have to get a player back with term, with, you know, a younger player back with term. Because right now we don't really have any leverage as far as talent to deal outside of maybe Gouley, which, I mean, looking at Scandella and Beaulieu, I mean, do you really want to deal a guy like Gouley when you're that lacking and your bottom three defensemen, as of right now at least? Okposo, nobody's touching that contract. Nope. And, I mean, it's always been my opinion that when you look at, you know, the blueprint of how to build a team, when you look at Chicago and how they built their team and won all their cups, Pittsburgh and even L.A., you want to keep your young core together. And we have that right now. And, I mean, that 10-game streak was a hell of a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun. But, I mean, you got to snap back to reality. You know, a lot of those games we won by one, shootouts and overtime. And we, you know, thank goodness for Carter Hutton a lot of those games, because he bailed us out and won us a few of those games. So, you know, am I upset that they're, you know, out of the playoffs right now? I mean, sure, but I wasn't really expecting them to even be, maybe be sniffing the wild card come near the end of the season, but I really wasn't expecting a ton from this team. I expected them to be a lot better than last year. But I mean, if they end up not making the playoffs, I mean, I'm just going to take a look at the season as a whole and see it as a vast improvement from last, and just hope for the best in the off season when it comes to the draft and dealing those picks, probably post deadline, probably in the off season. You know, I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks for calling. And a lot of what you said is a lot of what I agree with. I think that,
yeah,
it's not something that we need to go ahead and tear anything down. It's not anything about you need to go get somebody. The only parallel that you could draw is if they are threatening closer to the deadline, like they're in a better spot than they are now, for example, then yeah, I could see you trying to go ahead and do something kind of like what the Toronto Maple Leafs did a couple of years back. You know, go get yourself another player so that you can try to make that playoff push and then make it on one of the last two games of the season, for example.
Another thing,
Frank and I mentioned this on the Leftovers podcast, that Colorado last year was a team that made it on the final day of the season.
Yep.
So, sorry that it's not going well right now, Sabres fans. It's just that, guess what? It's not going to go away. This headache, these games that are going to be frustrating losses, every loss is going to be a frustrating loss at this point. Because that's where we're at. We're back to having a relevant team.
Yeah.
We're back to having something that is worth cheering for. We're back to having something where there's pain and losses again, instead of quite literally the opposite a couple of years ago. Like, it really is so much more different than it was 3 years ago with this team, 4 years ago with this team. Like, we were at one point, including particularly at this station, cheering for losses, happy when they would be terrible. Now, we're back to reality. We're back to being a normal hockey fan base. And I got to say, I miss the stress of actually trying to win. I've missed this. And
It's funny.
But at the same time, I'm not willing to mortgage the future, because guess what? This year's a vast improvement from the very first 31st place team in the NHL. You want to know what next year is? Next year should be even better.
Yeah.
Next year should be another step. Because if they don't make the playoffs this year, that does not mean it is a failure, so to say. But it is a disappointment.
Dwayne mentioned something, and he doesn't think that there's a lot. Batra has a lot of leverage that he can make in moves because of, you know, you don't want to trade away a lot of your young guys. We have to remember, too, he's got a move that he has to make first, and that's re-signing Jeff Skinner. That is priority number one right now.
And I don't want to hear it about anything about trading Jeff Skinner. And we'll get to that on the other side of this break. Derek Kramer, Frank Arcuri, we're here 9 to 10. Inside High School Sports coming up after us. You're listening to WGR.
We'll be coming back a little bit early. We'd like to re-energize too and come back, you know, with the fresh slate here and get our guys energized. And we, you know, we start out in Columbus, a team that's going to be tough to play against.
Phil Housley, post-game comments after the 4-3 loss to the Vancouver Canucks last night. Derek Kramer, Frank Arcuri here, 9 to 10 here on WGR as we lead you up through, get you to high school, inside high school sports, then sports talk Saturday. And then, of course, we got some Niagara basketball at 2 o'clock for you here, right here on WGR. So, the Sabres. It really has just become a moment now where we wait. First off, it's going to be tough for me to not be able to watch the Sabres play for an entire week.
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
And here's where it could be worse for me. And this is where my transition lies. It'll be worse for me if I have to deal with hearing about the Patriots and the Patriot way for a whole 2 weeks. And having 1 week of that be without Sabres hockey.
Yeah.
So go ahead and just chew on that for a little moment there.
Conference Championship Sunday is tomorrow with Rams, Saints, Patriots, Chiefs. Yeah, with combined with the Sabres bye week, if the Patriots win tomorrow.
If I get,
oh my God.
If I get a week of the Patriot way without some Sabres hockey to drown it out, I'm going to have some problems. I'm going to have some problems. Joe DiBiase and I were talking about this last night on the nightcap, and Joe mentioned something that was a very good point. How many of us around here really are taking a lot of stake in the NFC title game? How many of us really care about the NFC title game?
Yeah.
Who does?
Besides the fan bases.
Besides the respective fan bases, I'm pretty sure that the rest of the country is just going to want to make sure that it's not the Patriots.
Yeah, the rest of the country doesn't care who wins that game. Because both teams are incredibly good in their own rights.
Both are very similar.
Very similar.
High-powered offenses. Very solid skill position players.
Yeah, I think the expectation for that game, it's going to be another high-scoring game like it was earlier in the year.
One has a criminally underrated Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
And the other has an up-and-coming Jared Goff. So there's your main differences, I would say, with the Rams and the Saints. But nobody really is taking too much stock into this game, and the main reason of that is because of the fact that we have to deal with the Patriots in their eighth straight conference championship game, and we could be seeing them in their ninth Super Bowl in 18 years. On an average of every other year kind of thing. That's how annoying they are. That's how annoying they've been. And I think that our attitude toward the Patriots wouldn't be as obnoxious if they weren't in our division. But they are. And the Bills never have a chance against them.
Yeah.
The Dolphins even go ahead and trip up New England every now and then. Hell, that's the reason they're playing the game in Kansas City and not in Gillette Stadium.
That is true.
Because Gronkowski was out there to defend
that
a Hail Mary
true.
That didn't happen. My biggest thing is this. This whole narrative of the Patriot way. Give me a break. By the way, how you feeling about Championship Sunday? If you want to give us a call on that, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. I hate everything about the New England Patriots and the Patriot way and how annoying that inane garbage is as it's getting shoved down my throat as a narrative. You want to know how the Patriot way works? It's because you have one of the greatest coaches of all time and the greatest quarterback of all time. That's the Patriot way. Your mistakes get covered up because of how good those two are. One on the sidelines and the other as the field general on the offense. They've made egregious personnel errors over the last couple of seasons.
It's worse this year now because now they believe they're underdogs. It's making it worse.
Right, because we needed another reason to hate the Patriots even more is now all of a sudden they're the Rudy story of the year. Because the last thing we needed was, oh, hey, check it out. We're the Patriots. Go ahead, bet against us. Julian Edelman, dude, are you serious? Nobody's going to bet against you right now, man, because you have Tom Brady. You have Bill Belichick. You have the winning resume. You have a coach that isn't going to choke every playoffs in Andy Reid. You've got Bill Belichick instead. Tom Brady has been having what is quote-unquote a down year, but he's still one of the top quarterbacks in the league. He still is very capable of throwing 300 on any defense that there is. I cannot go ahead and state how annoying, how much more annoying this team can actually get. But then you had to go ahead and remind me that there is something that is more annoying about this team. Because, hey, if it's Patriots-Saints, by the way, guess what happens now? Oh, hey, the Saints are the best team in the league. Bet against us. Dude, you're back in the Super Bowl for the ninth freaking time. Shut up. That's what that turns into. That's what that becomes. And that is, you just said it. I could not have thought of how more annoying the Patriots and the Patriot way could be. No, you had to go ahead and bring in the fact that they are thinking themselves the underdogs. And you know who we have to blame for that? Everybody.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, oh, the Chargers, they have a better record. They have a real legitimate shot at upending the Patriots. And they took it as, oh, yeah, well, nobody likes us and nobody thinks that we're going to win. No, no, it was just the first part. Nobody likes
it's
you.
It's just the
it's just
one.
It's just the liking you part. Nobody likes you.
Yeah.
That's like, what it is. It's not about us thinking that you're not going to win. We were hoping you were going to lose. That's all it was. We were hoping you were going to lose. We didn't think that you were actually going to lose. A lot of us were just hoping for it.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's hilarious and scary at the same time that they think they're underdogs. Just because, let's be real, when is the betting line ever against them? They're
this
always
week
gonna
for once.
They're, I mean, yeah, but they're always gonna be favorites in any game they play until Brady is gone.
Until Brady and Belichick are retired,
I would say at least Brady, because he's likelihood he'll be gone before Belichick will.
803-0550, Rich in Buffalo, you got to take on the championship games. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Not bad. How about yourself?
Good. So, in a nutshell, I mean, the Patriots, I loathe them as much as anybody else, and to see them getting blown out tomorrow. Or see them lose tomorrow would be a great feeling. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Andy Reid has played Belichick and Brady four times, and three times he's hung 40 points on them. Twice he's won, once he's lost out of those 40. But going forward, when I see Buffalo players leave Buffalo and go to other teams, Jabari Guru is one of my favorite, that win a championship, I'm happy for them. I'm like, oh, good for them. I'm happy. To see Kelvin Benjamin and Sammy Watkins go to Kansas City and get a ring, I'll be honest with you, man. If the Patriots have to win another championship to see those two guys not get a championship, I'm okay with it. I mean, the Patriots have, what is it, five championships in the eight appearances. I'm okay with one more because it's coming to an end. But to see those two guys get a ring, I would rather not watch the game at all. And that's just my honest opinion.
Well, I feel all right about that, Rich, but I do have a halfway negotiation, so stick with me here, okay? I mean, how about Robert Woods getting a ring and Nickell Robey-Coleman? That'd be a fair deal, right? If, like, for example, the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl but the Rams win it?
Oh, absolutely.
So there's ways around this. We don't need to cheer for the Patriots tomorrow.
No, well, I'll throw it back at you. More bittersweet. Patriots win tomorrow but get smashed in the Super Bowl.
I am 100%. See, Rich, thanks for the call.
Everybody will be down for that.
Rich, thanks for the call. And see, there's ways around this. We can negotiate this. And I'm absolutely thinking, though, that there's, for some reason, the AFC Championship game for me is just more stressful. Because it's the Patriots. And I'm sick of seeing them. And I want to see something different. And you know the big thing about this is? I'm pretty sure the league wants to see something different about this. The way that they were able to sell a regular season game between the Rams and the Chiefs this season, and they can go ahead and brand this as the new age of the NFL, I kind of am expecting the league, I'm hoping that the league goes ahead and shirks some calls the way of the Chiefs so that they can go ahead and sell the new age of the NFL with Pat Mahomes as the new face. But am I going to go ahead and expect anything to happen? Am I going to go ahead and expect that the Chiefs are actually going to win this thing? No. Not even close. It's not even close.
I want Rams Chiefs so bad.
I've seen Rams Chiefs.
Yeah, we do pick'ems every week on the podcast too, and in our championship games, I think you picked New Orleans, New England. I picked Rams Chiefs.
I picked what I'm fearing. I'm picking because of the fact that we can't have nice things. And you want to know why can't we have nice
and
things? Because of the New England freaking Patriots.
And I'm picking based on that's what I want.
And that's why you don't pick with your heart, Frank.
I know.
That's why you don't do it.
I know.
Look, the big thing still remains this. I am sick of New England. I hate them with a burning passion. I cannot stand Tom Brady, and the day that he retires is going to be the happiest day of every Bills fan's life.
Every Bills fan will be dancing in the street the day he announces his retirement.
There will be block parties because of it.
A lot of table smashing.
Everything. There's going to be everything for that. It's going to be like a national holiday. Tom Brady retired. Oh, yes. All right. Bill Belichick walks away. What? Okay. Backflips. Everybody. It just... Look, the Chiefs are favored in this game. And they have the one seed. They have the home field advantage. But it's a 3.5-point spread. Which basically means the Chiefs are only favored because they're home.
Yeah.
So yes, New England is an underdog for the first time in what feels like forever.
It's underdog in quotation marks, let's be real.
Yes. No, it's not even quotation marks. It is legitimate. It is
it's on legitimate,
the betting,
but
on
it's
the betting
like
board it is.
Underdog.
It is.
It's underdog based on where the game is.
But they're as much of an underdog as I am an actually good talk show host.
Wow.
How's that?
Wow.
Not very much. Okay? And I don't want this story continually shoved down my throat. I don't want it just sprinkled everywhere here. It's ridiculous. And if I have to hear 2 weeks of it, I'm not going to know what to do with myself because I don't have Sabres hockey for a week to go ahead and numb that pain or to have something to distract my anger with.
It's going to be a weird game tomorrow, too, because of all the snowstorms expected to happen in Kansas City.
Snowstorms are coming here, actually.
Yeah. It's
as a matter of fact, the weather is not as much of a factor for tomorrow in Kansas City as it was supposed to originally be forecast.
That's interesting.
Yeah, no, we got the problem child here. So drive safe, by the way, everyone.
Yeah, really.
803-0551, 888-550-2550.
I'm willing to take all the snow, too, if it means Patriots losing.
Frank, here's my big thing here about the Patriots and this snow thing, okay? And it's this. Every year they play a frozen game at Gillette because they're home. The weather doesn't matter to them. It never has.
Yeah, that's true.
So the weather was never a problem for me here.
Yeah, I know. It's funny to think.
All right, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2552. We got one more segment before Inside High School Sports with Tony Caligiuri. Give us a call. Or don't. Whatever. It's cool. We're hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Derek Kramer, Frank Arcuri. You're listening to WGR.
Look at where the NFL has transitioned to with all the offense. They've got the top four scoring offenses in the NFL. You've got two legendary future Hall of Fame quarterbacks going up against two young, dynamic quarterbacks. You look at the great coaching in this game. I mean, it's just gotten all the ingredients and storylines are just should lead to two fantastic games.
Steve Weish of NFL Network, he was on One Bills Live earlier this week back on Thursday. And, Steve, I hope you're right that these games end up being good games because, one in the Superdome is promising to just have offense all over the place. I mean, the Saints and Rams was 45-35 for New Orleans last time earlier in this season, and it was, 43-40 for the Patriots and Chiefs.
Yep.
So offense is expected. It's just going to be, for me, a matter of can the Patriots just not be the team that goes to the Super Bowl again? That's it. I'm a simple
man. That's all that matters.
I'm a simple man with simple requests.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens there. Fingers crossed. Not getting my hopes up. I'm picking the Patriots to win this game. But, fingers crossed. Still not getting my hopes up.
No. I may pick the Chiefs, but I also did it because of my heart.
Yes.
You're not supposed to pick with your heart.
Yeah, so it's going to be your fault then.
Yes.
Sure. If it happens to be that way.
Well, just like on our podcast, we were always picking against Dallas and they won.
I did pick Dallas to literally spite them.
And it worked.
That is fair.
Did work.
All right. So last thing before we take off. This week, yes, there are no Sabres. But next weekend should have some fun for you.
All-Star weekend.
It's NHL All-Star Weekend. It is the Pro Bowl if you actually care about that.
Yeah.
It's the NHL All-Star Weekend if you actually care about that. So, I mean, like, I can't trash one All-Star game and then go ahead and praise the other, you know, right? Kyle Williams, his last time representing the Buffalo Bills in an NFL uniform.
Mm-hmm.
That is some. There's a reason to watch the Pro Bowl this year. And then, of course, Jack Eichel, Jeff Skinner, our Sabres representatives in the All-Star game for the Atlantic Division. And I'm happy that angry Keith Yandel is on their side.
That's true.
But there's one more thing, and this is the draft dork in me talking. The Senior Bowl comes on next week. And
what day is it on?
That is on a Saturday.
Ooh.
Next week. Next week, Saturday, as a matter of fact.
Ooh.
So 1 week from now, the Senior Bowl game. But the game is not as important as the week of practices. And there are a couple of names that we should be really cheering for to have a great week for the South team. Those are quarterback Tyree Jackson and wide receiver Anthony Johnson of UB. The two UB products are in the Senior Bowl for the South team, and I hope that they have themselves a great week of practice, because especially for the Bills' case with Anthony Johnson in particular, maybe taking a receiver in the first or second round isn't a necessity anymore, as much as we saw it earlier. When Robert Foster developed into something relatively solid this year, yes, wide receiver is still a need, but it is no longer the most important need, I think. I still think that the interior of the offensive line is.
Yeah.
However,
Zay Jones taking a step forward, too, really helped.
Zay Jones needing to take another step forward is something we need to also hope for.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not banking on it at this point. Like, you know, you're only as good as your last game. Actually, you're only as good as your next game, I should say. That's how it's treated in the NFL. I think that they really need to be able to put things together. I'm excited to see what they do with this offseason. And really, for a lot of people, the Senior Bowl is the commemorative start of people's draft hype.
Mm-hmm.
The East-West Shrine Game, the practices, everything like that just took part this week. But the Senior Bowl is the one that people start to pay attention. More casual fans start to pay attention. And you just happen to have another reason to do that with UB products, Anthony Johnson, and Tyree Jackson.
I think watching the quarterbacks, too.
There's five of them. Five of them. There's five of them on one team. There's nine of them at the Senior Bowl. Nine!
Watching especially the top QBs in the draft this year, I think is going to be important for the Bills, because they're in a spot where a team can trade up to them to get a quarterback, and if that's the case, and rumors start to swirl around it, Buffalo can get, if Buffalo wants to trade out a nine, they can get a premium for that pick for a team that's desperate to trade up for a quarterback that's behind them.
Yeah, but this quarterback class is also piss.
But that's
poor.
But that's why I think it's important to watch it.
It is bad, though.
Because I'm saying, at least just watching the top guys.
All right. Well, thanks for the first show of the Saturday mornings here with me, Derek Kramer. Thanks, Frank R. Curie, running the board and helping out here, chipping along as well. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to the people that called. Always appreciate it. And Inside High School Sports coming up next. And then Sal Capaccio takes over at 11 o'clock from 11 to 2 for Sports Talk Saturday. Niagara, Quinnipiac, Niagara basketball coming at you at 2 o'clock. Derek Kramer, Frank R. Curie, thanks for listening. This is WGR.